Hello, everybody. We're back for part three with Roy Hunter. If this is the first one you've seen in the series, I want you to go to calbanion.com or banyanhypnosismall.com because we've had an interview and then we've done one on how to book appointments, you know, how to get turn those phone calls into appointments. It was very interesting. I think you'll learn a lot. So once again, I'm here with Roy Hunter, award-winning writer, author, speaker. I won't get into all that introductory material. It's been on part one and part two. I'm going to show you some of the books he's written at the end of this. And today, well, we're going to talk about something that really separates a lot of hypnotherapists, and that is those who do use convincers and those that don't. In my experience, and I think in Roy's experience also, when you use a convincer, and the client's going to do better. They always do better when they believe they're hypnotized. And in my opinion, the whole profession would be raised to a higher level if everybody was using convincers. And it's also a great marketing tool because someone tells somebody that they're going to see the hypnotist. And when they see that person the second time, they go, how did you go with the hypnotist? Did you get hypnotized? And you don't want them to say, well, I got relaxed. I'm not sure. You want them to say, oh, yeah, I was relaxed. I was hypnotized. And I know. I'm so excited. Oh, yes, I was hypnotized. And I know because the hypnotist convinced me by doing the following. Right? Okay, Roy, here we are in part three. Please tell them what you came to tell them.
Well, frequently over the years, when I have facilitated workshops and presentations at hypnosis conventions and also at hypnosis schools, I've asked the question, how many of you have ever had a client who said, I didn't feel hypnotized, I heard every word you said?
Right.
Invariably, virtually every hand in the room will go up. Mm-hmm. Only occasionally do I have a hand or two that doesn't go up. And I figure either those are people who do not have professional experience or there are people who use convincers consistently with right. virtually every client. That being said, I have to raise my hand even though I use convincers because occasionally I'll have a client who will say, I didn't feel hypnotized, I heard every word you said, mm-hmm. in spite of the fact that I use convincers. And I'll make a mental note to use more convincers on that person's mm-hmm. next mm-hmm. visit. Interestingly enough, what first really got me into realizing that convincers are important is my second or third month in the profession. I worked with an engineer. Those of you with professional experience know that engineers are one of the most challenging occupations to work with because they're so analytical. And when he came back for a second session, he said, when I left your office last week, I would have sworn under oath on a stack of Bibles that I was not hypnotized. But he said, I've gone through 10 other stop smoking programs, and none of them have worked. He said, I had a few urges the first 3 days until I got the nicotine out of my system. And he said, it has not been this easy with any of my other 10 attempts. And mm-hmm. he said, I know you told me last week that I couldn't open my eyes, but I felt I could have if I'd have really wanted to. Mm-hmm. And he said, the proof for me was in the pudding. Now, this is one of the reasons why I think it's important that a client understand that imagination is a language of the subconscious before they ever go into hypnosis. Mm-hmm. I have learned far more value in this in subsequent years since leaving Charlie's training. Under Charles Tevitz, he called the challenge suggestions that the scientific community teaches, he called them convincers.
And that's what I know him by. Yeah.
It's a far more accurate term mm-hmm. because the primary purpose of a challenge suggestion is to help a client become convinced that he or she is actually in an altered state of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And yet, I'm amazed at how many people I've talked to through the years with professional hypnosis experience that not only don't use convincers, but in some cases never even learned about
never
them
even
from their
heard
hypnosis
about
instructor.
Them. Right, right.
You have encountered the same thing, haven't
exactly.
you?
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's almost mind-boggling because that's like a carpenter attempting to build a house minus a very important tool.
Mm-hmm. I think the first place I ever heard of convincers was reading Winkler's work. He used it in what he taught.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Look, we've kind of gotten ahead of ourselves. Would you kind of convince everybody that, define for our viewers what a convincer is?
A convincer is a suggestion that you give to a client that causes a physical response where the client realizes that he or she is actually in an altered state of consciousness. And I set the table with the suggestibility tests before I ever induce a client into hypnosis in the first place, by helping a client understand that imagination is a language of the subconscious. Mm-hmm. And first of all, a lot of people have this unexpressed fear of losing control in hypnosis. Mm-hmm. So by helping a client understand that when I do the suggestibility test, I say, I'm going to give you an opportunity to discover the power of your imagination. Whose power is it, mine or the client's?
Right, giving the power to the client.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's the client's power, it's the client's imagination, and then when I say your arms did not move because I told them to, but because you imagined the bucket or the balloons, and you can refer back to the previous taping in this series or podcast mm-hmm. in order to understand where that's coming from, I say this demonstrates that imagination is a language of the subconscious. Now, how this relates to a convincer is subconscious is recording this fact from the intake session mm-hmm. or the pre-induction interview before I ever induce hypnosis, and then when I give the convincer during the state of mm-hmm. hypnosis, it serves a dual purpose. A, it helps convince the client that he or she is in a hypnotic state, and B, and I know you understand this from experience, it deepens the trance level.
That's right. That's right.
And it's really important to have a deeper trance level if you want a higher long-lasting success rate.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So there are a number of different convincers, and in essence, it doesn't really matter which ones you use. Use the ones you're most comfortable with. Oftentimes people say, well, what convincer should I use with most of the clients most of the time? And the answer is the one you like best. The same answer applies for inductions also. The induction you should use with most of your clients most of the time is the one you like best. However, be willing to change techniques to fit the client, adapt the technique to the client. So mm-hmm. the convincer that I use the most frequently is arm levitation. Mm-hmm. I also will frequently use the eye catalepsy. For those of you who wish a description of convincers, there are lots of books out there. I cover the ones that Charles Tebbets taught in The Art of Hypnosis. In essence, the most commonly used one is your eye catalepsy. Mm-hmm. Something I found very important from what Charles Tebbets taught is that the word try implies failure. Mm-hmm. For those of you who love Star Wars, remember in The Empire Strikes Back, Yoda said there is no try. Do or don't do. Mm-hmm. If someone mm-hmm. says, I'm going to try to make it for your workshop, do you think they're going to show up, or do you expect they'll have an excuse?
Certainly a high degree of uncertainty there.
Indeed, a high degree of uncertainty. So when you say try, it implies failure. Therefore, you don't ever want to use the word try in a hypnotic suggestion unless you do not want the client to do what you say. Mm-hmm. So when I use a convincer, I precede it with the word try. Mm-hmm. So I will, for example, with the eye catalepsy, I'll say, in your imagination, you can do anything you want. And you know what it feels like when your eyelids are so heavy and so drowsy that you just want them to close. And they're so heavy and so drowsy that even if you try to open them, you find that they would rather stay closed. And you can double the hypnosis or triple the trance. Mm-hmm. There's how I do the eye catalepsy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I move right through it, stop trying, and now go deeper. You can either enter the realm of hypnotic sleep or you can let go into profound hypnosis. I learned that nice little double bind from the late Orman McGill.
Mm-hmm.
Profound hypnosis.
Beautiful.
And when I do the arm catalepsy or the arm levitation rather, there are a couple of ways you can do that with or without touch. Number one, you don't ever touch a client unless you have asked permission prior to the trance induction. And this is a very important rule to adhere to. Years ago, I forgot to ask for permission to touch. And when I did a Dave Elman floppy arm drop as a deepening technique, on a client, he immediately jumped out of trance and said, "No one touches me except for a handshake outside of my wife."
I'd like to have been there to see the look on your face.
I was pretty surprised. He did end up remaining as my client and had some pretty good successes. Mm-hmm. Turned out he was a personal friend of Steve Largent, for all of you football fans. Mm. But I learned I learned from my clients, and I learned from my students.
That's right.
At any
rate, after you get out of class, your clients are going to be your biggest teachers.
Indeed.
You're doing the work. That's right.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. At any rate, from that, when I have asked permission to touch, the arm levitation I use is I say, "I want you to rest your hand on my fingertips, and I'm going to move your arm up and down ever so slowly. And each time your arm comes up, I want you to imagine that it's getting lighter. Imagine the sensation of lightness from the elbow to the fingertips. And each time your arm comes up, imagine it's getting lighter and lighter." Now, I'm using a little mechanical trick here in that the first time I bring it up maybe 30 degrees, the second time about 45 degrees, and then the third time I bring the arm up about 60 or 70 degrees, and then the last time, if it's necessary, I'll bring it up 90 degrees. Mm-hmm. And even though the person, if they were thinking about it analytically, might understand there's a trick to that, mm-hmm. an interesting effect seems to happen when that arm stays up by itself. Most clients will noticeably go into a deeper state. And when I have asked for
feedback, convinced.
Yes, when I've asked for feedback afterwards, I've on more than one occasion had a client say, "Wow, as soon as my arm started floating, I knew something was happening."
Now, okay, I'm going to ask you a hard question, because I know there's people out there saying, I have two questions. What do you do to ensure that a convincer will work, and what do you do if it doesn't?
The best answer I can give you on what you can do to ensure that a convincer will work is do your best, because you can never ensure that a convincer will work. Mm-hmm. Since all hypnosis is really guided self-hypnosis, if a person has an emotional reason to resist, they can resist. Mm-hmm. But that's not why they're there. And that's why Charles Tibbetts asked us to proceed every session with the words, "All hypnosis is really guided self-hypnosis. If you follow my simple instructions..." Mm-hmm. Then you can enjoy a very pleasant, relaxed state. You can resist if you want to, but that's not why you're here. So after I have done the suggestibility test and elicited a response, and I say, "Your arms did not move because I told them to, but because you imagined the bucket or the balloons," I then say, "When I ask you to imagine a peaceful place, it's up to you to imagine a peaceful place, because if you fantasize a freeway during rush hour, you're not going to get your money's worth. Mm-hmm. So when I ask you to imagine certain other things during the session, such as having more energy or more money to use as you choose, and if you fantasize puffing away on a cigarette, what do you think your subconscious is going to buy?" And I may give you some other suggestions that involve the use of imagination, and it's up to you to imagine that. So in essence, I set the table before the trance ever begins. Mm-hmm. Once that happens, then in response to your other question, what do you do if they don't respond to a convincer? Mm-hmm. I say, "That's okay," and I move right on to another convincer until I can get a response to one of them.
In your mind, when in the rare occasion they do fail, why do you think that happens?
It could be either A, because they're not deep enough, or B, there's some emotional reason at some level of consciousness for them to resist. And if I'm going to help that client, it's up to me to be persistent enough to find out what that reason is.
Exactly. That's right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in one case, when a client resisted three or four convincers, I just simply asked the question, "Why aren't you following my suggestions?" He opened his eyes and he said, "Because I guess I'm not really ready to quit smoking, and I'm afraid that if you really get me into hypnosis, I'll quit. And I'm only doing this because my wife made me."
That's right. You know, if a convincer isn't working, or if any technique isn't working, then what I suggest you do is take a step back. When I troubleshoot hypnosis sessions, if you do an induction and it doesn't work, what does that mean? And if it's an induction that should work, that means that something prior to that time was not done. And either the pre-talk wasn't done properly, the rapport wasn't done properly, or the client wasn't, you know, prepared properly, you know, in their mind to make the change. Exactly.
different words for the same thing. Yeah. I mean, I mentioned earlier set the table. That means you do a proper pre-talk. Right. You not only ask the right questions to find out why the client's there, but you do a proper pre-talk. According to the late Charles Tibbetts, you have to build expectancy as well as allay fears, and the suggestibility tests help build expectancy by helping the client understand the role imagination plays in the entire process from start to finish. Now, if a client fails one suggestibility test but then responds to another one, then there are one or two additional ones, and I may use one or both of them. Prior to awakening, as the last suggestion I give to a client before he or she comes up that they respond to before awakening, is I'll say, now put both arms comfortably on the arm of the chair, and just imagine one arm is getting heavier, and imagine the other arm is getting lighter. And I don't know which arm is heavy or light, but whatever arm you choose to be heavy or light, just imagine the sensation is becoming more and more real, as though the heavy arm is made out of lead and weighs 20 or 30 times its weight, or the light arm feels as though it's made out of helium balloons. And the more you imagine the lightness or the heaviness, the more real it feels. And just allow yourself to go deeper and deeper as the feeling becomes more and more real. Or as the feeling becomes more and more real, you go deeper and deeper. Turn control of your arms over to your subconscious and just imagine the lightness or the heaviness and notice the sensation. And in a couple of minutes, I'm going to start counting from 1 to 5. And when you come back to conscious awareness, it doesn't matter whether you forget to remember which arm was heavy or light. Just remember the sensation and just allow yourself the idea that after I say the number 5, once only, you have an irresistible urge to touch your nose. And if you try to resist, notice use of the word try, you'll find yourself smiling or laughing spontaneously. And this will totally convince you that you were in an altered state of consciousness. So I'm using a post-hypnotic suggestion as a convincer as well. And then when the client comes out of hypnosis, the first thing I'll say is, good stuff, isn't it? Then the second thing I'll say, and this is because if a person does go into a medium or deep state, they're still responsive to suggestion the first few minutes outside of trance. I'll say, what was easier to imagine, the lightness or the heaviness in your arms? Now, again, that's the either or. I don't say, were you able to imagine a light arm or heavy arm? That would be a yes or no response. I'll say, what was easier to imagine, the light arm or the heavy arm? And I've noticed that probably 97-98% of people over the years, when I've asked that question, have given me an answer. Some will say the light arm, some will say the heavy arm. And I don't care whether it's the lightness or the heaviness. My next response is, your arms weigh the same weight as far as your conscious mind is aware of. And in a deep state of hypnosis, the light arm would raise right up off the arm of the chair, or you would feel like it was impossible to try to lift the heavy arm. In a medium level, there'll be a noticeable difference. Either one arm will be noticeably light or the other arm noticeably heavy. In a light state, there'll be little or no difference, but any difference at all of sensation between your two arms is proof positive that you experienced hypnosis.
That's right.
So I just validated the person's trance.
It doesn't have to be a physically measurable, any shift in perception. That's a lot of what we do, is we just shift perception for people to start thinking and feeling about things differently.
Now, what I have noticed will sometimes happen is when I give this suggestion just prior to awakening, one of the arms will start to move. If it moves, I go with it. I just go with the flow. As you feel that arm moving, each time your arm moves, you go deeper, and as you go deeper, your arm gets lighter. And as you feel that arm floating weightlessly right up off the arm of the chair, you go even deeper, totally convinced that you're in hypnosis. Bingo. There is a suggested convincer. Once I see the response, I add, totally convinced that you're in hypnosis. And boy, when they go home and say that to their spouse or significant other who says, well, how'd your session go? Oh, boy, my arm just started moving right up off the arm of the chair. And I have more than once had a client say, I didn't feel hypnotized until that arm started moving, and I felt like it was moving all by itself. Or one time, one lady who didn't show any movement and didn't really want to answer the questions on the light or heavy arm did schedule another session. She stood up, and after she stood up, I won't do it because I'm still on camera, she was having a real awkward movement in her hand, and she said, "Doggone it, if I don't do it here, I'll do it on the elevator." And then she said, "I guess I must have been hypnotized because I couldn't stand it till I finally touched my nose."
Yeah. And you know, and all of these convincers done properly, be the ones that I teach in class or the ones that you teach, they're great marketing tools because they want to talk about their experience with their friends and family, and so give them something to talk about. And if I have someone that is a real chatterbox or knows a lot of people, they're a deacon in their church or you know something like that, I'll pile on a couple of the convincers, give them something to talk about.
I like that. Charlie never taught us about giving them something to talk about.
That's right.
So I can turn around and say, when you go home, and your family members ask how it went, tell them about how your hand raised up off the chair. I've never done that, and I just learned something right here in this interview. Thank you, Cal.
I like to say, kind of fun, kind of interesting. You might want to tell somebody about it later.
Cal's a marketer. I'm a salesperson. And selling is motivating people to make the decision when they are interested in your product or service. Marketing is generating the interest in the first place.
Right. And, you know, we've run out of time for this podcast. Is there anything you want to say to kind of wrap things up?
Master the basics. If you don't have any training in convincers, I would urge you to get some good books on that topic. I also have a DVD that is going to be available on the Banyan website of convincers. You might want to go ahead and invest in that. And if there's anything else you'd like to say before we wrap it up.
All right. I haven't shown these in any of the other parts so far, but this is the world well-known book, The Art of Hypnosis. This is a basic training. It's about how to do hypnosis. And then in The Art of Hypnotherapy, Roy writes extensively about, and these are updated constantly. You're on like version number 3 of one of these that you're about to produce,
right? The Art of Hypnotherapy. I'm working on third edition.
Right. And it's a vast collection of many different and most important techniques in the world of hypnotherapy. And then the hypnosis for inner conflict resolution. I was very honored that Roy selected me to be one of the people to do a peer review to read the manuscript before it was published. And I was very happy to put my little blurb on the back of his book. I highly recommend this. And this is published by Crown House Publishing Limited. And I tell you what, these are very good sound materials that you could build your profession on and your practice. And we're still talking about that we're going to have Roy come to our center and do some classes. Probably going to be one on parts therapy, and we're talking about maybe some others. Please come back to calbanyan.com or thebanyanhypnosismall.com. All the latest information will be there. All right, with that, we don't want to keep it too long. We're going to break this part 3 and we're going to start working on part 4, so check back. Again, this is Cal Banyan and Roy Hunter signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved. For private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.